And it brings us to Henry Shulman of the Chronicle. Henry, nice to have you with us today. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Always good to hear your voice. What did you think of Jarrett Parker yesterday?
Amazing. I mean, he hit some bad pitches, but the one thing Major League hitters will tell you is that, you know, you might get some bad pitches, but you still got to hit them. Okay. And right now he's just in one of those zones where his swing is just perfect. He knows his swing. He's seeing the ball really well. And I mean, if you could put up numbers in a game that were last done in the franchise by Willie Mays half a century ago, you're doing something right.
Henry, does this put him in the mix? I imagine he was always in the mix, being a 26-year-old, and he's a college player they drafted rather highly. Where does this put him vis-a-vis next year?
Well, I don't really think it changes all that much. I think he was going to be in the mix. I think that he's going to be in spring training competing for a job on the 25-man roster. I don't imagine the Giants are going to go into the winter with thoughts of Jarrett Parker being their everyday first baseman or everyday left fielder. I mean, you have to put some of this in perspective. I mean, he's facing expanded roster pitching. I just put some numbers out on Twitter. The biggest problem with Jarrett Parker has always been his ability to make contact. That was true in the minors, true in the majors. I mean, he has some incredible numbers during this call-up. He's 9-for-18 with a double and 6 home runs. But of the 18 at-bats, he struck out 7 times. And, I think the Giants are going to go into the winter, and they're going to come up with a solution that they think is right for left field. And, I don't know that they're going to go after Yoenis Cespedes or any of the, some Justin Upton or anything like that. I think pitching is going to be their biggest monetary priority. And who knows, they may just decide with left field to just, throw the kitchen sink out there and see who the best players are. I mean, it looks increasingly like Marlon Byrd is going to be on this team next year. They're doing nothing to slow his what seems like an inexorable march toward him having his option vested. I don't want to take anything away from what the kid has done. I mean, Jarrett Parker, when he was up here before, he just looked lost at the plate. He was swinging at breaking pitches in the dirt. He just really had no clue, was falling behind in the count. Now he's coming up there aggressive. He's seeing pitches. He's seeing the ball better. He's waiting for good pitches to hit, and when he hits them, they go a long way.
Yeah, boy, they do. And he doesn't miss his pitch, but like you said, he's getting a lot of fastballs. So we'll see how that works out. Henry Shulman with us. Henry, you called it a couple of weeks ago on Marlon Byrd, and you've written it as well. You feel the Giants should just pick up the option, just make the deal now, and get him on the team for next year. Nothing has happened over the last 2 weeks to make me think otherwise, really.
Yeah, I don't think I said that they should do it. I mean, that's a value judgment. I think what I said was that it's just not easy to find a right-handed bench guy or platoon guy who can hit the ball out of the ballpark like that. And $8 million sort of sounds like a lot of money for that particular player, especially when he's 39 years old. He's not in his prime anymore, lost a couple of steps defensively. But he's not a bad player. And when you consider that the major league average salary is creeping up toward $5 million, you may just look at a guy like Byrd and say, you know what, maybe that is a little bit of an overpay, but it's going to be hard to find that guy. And finding some right-handed pop off the bench has been difficult for the Giants. And one of the things I was told this week was that I was specifically told that, Bochy was told not to count plate appearances with Byrd. Just play the lineup that you think you need to play to win ball games, since we're still in this thing. Now, if the Giants are eliminated today, which is a possibility, or eliminated tomorrow, which is a possibility, and they just decide they want to just play Jarrett Parker and Mack Williamson every day, he may not best that option. But I was also still told that the Giants have some interest in bringing Byrd back. And remember, Byrd might want to try and find a job where he can play more than he might play here. There have been communications between the Giants and Marlon Byrd's agent that have discussed not only 2016, but also the whole issue of this a vested option. I don't know that there's an expectation that the Giants will do everything they can to make sure he gets those 550 plate appearances. That'll be one of the more interesting little sidelights as they try to build the team next year. A secondary issue, but one of the sidelights.
All right, great to have you with us, Henry. Always good insight on that. I was thinking of this, you know, you do the shows, we take so many calls from people in Europe, you're so active on Twitter. Everyone says Giants should spend money, go out and get Price, go out and get Greinke. Well, you know, environmentally, these people may not want to be here for other reasons other than just the money. Where do the Giants fall back to if the big names don't, Cueto, don't come here? Where do they go for pitching?
Well, I mean, there are second-tier pitchers, and if you spend enough money, somebody will want to come here. It's not that hard to get pitchers to come here. And Zach Greinke is a guy who has expressed his admiration for San Francisco and the Giants organization for a long time. But you're right. I mean, David Price, the one thing I've heard about David Price is that he's very eager to play somewhere where he can hop on a quick flight back to his house, which is in Tennessee. And San Francisco doesn't fit that bill. Now, if the Giants come out and offer him $200 million and they offer him $20 million more than anybody else, you know, maybe he's willing to take a 3 or 4 hour flight to go see his family. But there, you know, there are second tier pitchers. I think the Giants have to be aggressive money wise to try and get a top tier starter this winter. I think that's their plan. I think that, I mean, one of the things I was told specifically last year when I was digging and asking, look, why aren't you spending? You offered all this money for Lester, then you backed away, and your plan B was all these number four and five starters. And one of the things I was told specifically was, look, you know, next year there's going to be a big free agent class of pitchers, and we want to be ready for that. So unless they've changed their thinking, you know, I think they're going to try to identify one or two of those arms, try and figure out based on their analytics and observations and scouting which of those guys they feel might be the best long-term investment, because you're going to have to pay these guys $30 million when they're going to be 35 and 36 years old, and try and make an aggressive push to get at least one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And I heard the same thing about Lester. And if they didn't get him, well, they know next year there are going to be people out there. Henry, what about Mike Leake? And I know you've seen him and we've all watched him. He has a track record. He had that amazing record before he got here of 7 or 8 or 9 starts in a row where he had an earned run average close to one. And since he's been here, it's been nothing but a struggle. What do you make of that?
Well, this is pure speculation on my part, and I don't want to put it out as anything but speculation because I haven't talked to him and I haven't talked to anybody specifically about him. But I think it was very telling early on when Bochy removed him from a game when he had something like 60 or 70 pitches. Or I forget exactly where that game was. There must be something, I think, related to the arm, and this did come out a little bit that he had some sort of forearm issue. And when you have a guy who has a track record like that, and then he consistently goes out there with his new team and just gives up a lot of runs and a lot of home runs, you have to wonder if health is the issue. And you know, and please, if you're Mike Leake's agents listening down there in Southern California, again, I'm just saying this is an observation from watching and knowing. I'm not saying I know for a fact that Mike Leake has arm trouble, but this is something that where the Giants have an advantage, where it's their trainers who are looking at him, and it's their executives who can talk to him and see him every day. And if they feel that really it's just tired arm or whatnot, and they feel that Mike Leake can be the pitcher that he was in Cincinnati, which is, you know, I mean, incredibly good pitcher, with ERA for that ballpark, I think they're going to try to make a run to keep him. Whether he wants to stay, again, it's like you said, you know, he may not feel he's had a good experience here in San Francisco. Again, I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. But, I mean, I do think that the Giants traded for him partly to win for this year when they did it, and partly so that he would be in the fold and they could make a you know, get first crack at him for next year.
Boy, great. No, Henry Schulman with us at the Chronicle. Of course, great opinions, Henry, and I know that you do your homework on this stuff, so glad to have you on. I said yesterday on the show, thinking about the bullpen for next year, and there's so many of these righties who've been brought up, and Guerin, you got Cody Hall, you got Broadway, and Strickland, of course, has been here all year. I said it today. It'd be nice to see some solid innings out of these guys, because do these guys figure into this bullpen for next year?
Yeah, I think some of them do. I think they have a very big collection of guys who can compete for what will be limited spots. I've seen some people, fans, some writers, say that the Giants need to go out and get some experienced relief help. That's not something the Giants have done in a very long time, to go spend money on the outside for relief innings. They've been very fortunate to have the core four. That's going to be broken up. I presume that Affeldt won't be back next year. The Giants kind of long ago decided that the best way to economically and competitively to fill those innings is to do it from within. And you have some really, really good candidates. One would hope, if you're the Giants, that you bolster the rotation enough so you really only need seven relievers next year. This business about going with eight relievers, they had to do out of necessity, but it's not an ideal situation. And when you realize that Casilla is probably going to be back, they have an option on him. I can't imagine they would turn that down. Romo is going to be back. Javi Lopez is going to be back. You're going to have Contos back. Yusmeiro Petit, I imagine, is going to be a big part of it. Now you're only looking at a couple or three spots to fill. And, Strickland and Osich are two very good relievers who I think figure into this. And then you have a whole bunch of guys like Hall and Guerin and
Broadway.
Broadway. And we haven't even talked about Derek Law,
right,
who was ahead of all of them until he had to have Tommy John surgery. I think that there's going to be a very healthy and spirited competition. I do not see the Giants going out and spending, say $15 million for 3 years on a reliever, unless they come to the conclusion during their organizational meetings that some of these guys who are under contract for next year have arms that have just been overtaxed too much and they need the backup.
I was thinking this week about offense. And of course, Cespedes, I think, is a pipe dream. I think his whole thing in New York is just going to keep him around there. But what about Justin Upton? If they went, in other words, instead of getting involved with Aoki and Bird and, all sorts of different scenarios in left field, what if they just said, something? Let's take our $18 million a year for 5 years and put into Justin Upton and forget about it. You think that could happen?
Yeah, I'm very skeptical about that. And I think for the main reason being that they're really, their first priority for spending money really has to be the rotation.
Okay.
And, one or two starters. And I think by the time they settle that and sort all that out, they might be, Justin Upton might be too far along in the process to, with other teams for that to happen. Now, the Giants, as we all know, they could boost the payroll all they wanted because of the money that they have, but they're not keen on dipping back into the luxury tax or going back into the luxury tax, which I believe they're going to have to do this year. And it will be interesting to see. I realize that Brian Sabian is still, he's still the boss, although Bobby Evans is more of sort of his own man. It'll be interesting to see if they change philosophies with this new leadership structure. But if they do what they've been doing over these past 8-9 years, you don't see the Giants committing that kind of money to offense. And remember, mm-hmm. the Giants before all the injuries, the Giants were one of the better offensive teams in the National League. Scoring runs was not a problem for this team until everybody got hurt. So I would be skeptical. I mean, I think that the fans would love to see a Justin Upton. Everyone says sign Cespedes, but Cespedes, he just won a division with the Mets, and if that penurious owner decides to open his pocketbook, I think it would be difficult for the Mets not to re-sign him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the Mets, I just had Steve Kepman on earlier. The Mets are back, and the Mets pitching very much like the Giants pitching in 2010, and he's going to be, whatever they do, he will be a big part of it. So I agree with you on that. Henry, one last thought for you. And just thinking about all these concussions, you think it plays into how they evaluate the players for next year? And I talk about Belt, Hector Sanchez, of course, we know that's always been an issue. But Aoki, Blanco, I mean, they do have, instead of saying just concussions, brain injuries, as someone points out on Twitter. You think that plays in next year as to how they would evaluate this team?
Well, I think everything plays into how they evaluate the team. And I mean, I think that of all the guys you mentioned, the guy who is sort of the key, the cog in that is Belt. I mean, here's a guy who is an incredibly important part of the Giants offense. And now that he's had his, now that he had his first concussion last year, unfortunately, when Marco Scudero threw a ball and hit him, you know, it's known now that when you have a concussion, you're susceptible to more. I would find it difficult to believe the Giants would back away from Brandon Belt or try to move him or anything like that because he seems more susceptible to concussions. I mean, he put together, when he did play, one of the better offensive seasons the Giants had this year. And, I mean, unless the Giants are going to do something kooky, wacky, like make Buster their everyday first baseman, you know, try and find, you know, go with a different catcher or something like that. I can't really imagine any other scenario where Belt is not the first baseman next year.
Yeah, it's just something to watch. As you say, once you get a couple of them, maybe you're susceptible to him. But he's a very big part of it. Henry, it's a pleasure having you on, as always. Love to have you on next week when the playoff scenario is settled and the home fields and everything else. I want to get your thoughts on how you think it may play out. So have a good week.
I'm absolutely rabidly thrilled with what we're about to see with the playoffs and it coming up with some of these teams and some of the pitching. Dodgers and Mets, I mean, I'm drooling over that.
Yeah, Carlos Martinez is out of the Cardinals, but Wainwright's on his way back.
Well, the Cardinals, they just have, I don't know, they have a factory somewhere back there where they make the Busch beer, and they just bring out players who can win playoff games, so I'm not worried about them.
All right, Henry, talk to you next week. I appreciate having you on. Have a good week.
You bet, Marty.
All right, that is Henry Schulman of the Chronicle. Always a pleasure to talk ball with him on a Sunday morning.